Good morning to everyone here present, and I mean those that are online as well. How many of you here have lived in California more than 10 years? Basically everybody, right? No, just not everybody. If you have lived in California at least for 10 years, you must know what it means, gracias.
Thank you.
Do you? All of you?
Thank you.
You should know because you probably heard gracias so many times because sometimes we feel like we are in Mexico because there are so many Spanish speaking everywhere. So it's very common for us to hear gracias. Another word is hola. And some of you know a lot about burritos, right? By the way, burritos is just a Mexican name, but I heard that there's no burritos in Mexico. It's just a something that the United States made up and decided to call that a burrito. So we all know gracias. And do you know the word thanks comes from Latin? And gracias is coming from the same root, gratus in Latin. But also gratitude comes from the same. To give comes also from the same root. To forgive comes from the same root. And the list goes on and on. Multiplied. And if you go around the world, you see how many people say a form. And we have an Italian here too. We have Hispanics here that know the way to say thank you, it is common in many different places. Brother Tony, how do you say, I know more or less, but I don't want to butcher language, so say gracias in Italian.
Grazie.
Grazie. Grazie mille. All right. So I was afraid to, and we have also in Portuguese, if you hear Portuguese speaking, they say, muito obrigado. That is not actually gracias. That means that I feel grateful, but I ask you a question. What is my obligation? So in other words, in Portuguese, we don't, somebody, it looks like I'm bragging about it, but I'm not. Most of the Brazilians, they don't even know about this. I know because I study about when you say muito obrigado, it's just like in English, say I'm feeling obliged to you. I have an obligation. I know that I have an obligation. What do I owe you? That is the most polite way. Instead of just to assume that it was a favor, say, oh, thank you, and go on. Now you ask the person, I feel obliged to you. What do I owe you? And the person says in Spanish, por nada, or de nada. In Portuguese, por nada, meaning there's no obligation. I have given you a gift. And then it's proper for you to say, I feel very thankful because you are being kind to me. You give me a gift. And those that knows how to receive gifts, they are rewarded with more people. People feel like giving them again. You know, it's very easy to give to thankful people. It's hard to give to people that don't appreciate what you give to them. And some people, they feel entitled to things. And that's why they don't feel like they have to thank anything. You'd be amazed how many people in this life could have received much more in life, but they stopped receiving because they stopped being thankful. And it's very important for us to understand the title that we gave to the message this week, if you look in the bulletin, if you have a copy of the bulletin, you look, it says, the grace attitude. What do you think is the grace attitude? What do you think is the word that actually comes, if you put the grace and attitude together, what is the word that comes as a marriage between grace and attitude? If you marry the two, what do you think will be their child's name? Gratitude. a giving, redeeming attitude. A godly, redeemed attitude. No one can be grateful unless they have God inside of them. If they are aware or not, gratitude is an attribute of the Divine One. And if you do not teach your children to be grateful, they will become a burden to somebody. They're going to become a burden to themselves, and a burden to their church, and a burden to their country, a burden for everyone. And they will be always unhappy. Because the greatest secret of being happy is to be grateful. If you got up this morning, and some of you probably had a very wonderful breakfast. Some of you had more than probably you should. But very few can say, I came to church, but I did not have anything to eat. Many years ago, I came to church many times, and I would have eaten for 3 or 4 days. And I was so embarrassed even to tell people. So I would come and sit in a corner far away from everyone, and I would have the worship. And when the pastor would say, okay, let's now have the benediction, and he said, Lord, and I would stand up and get ready. When he would say, amen, I would take off because I was too embarrassed to tell people that I was starving. And I was very concerned that everybody knew me, knew all about my life and everything else. I was a member of the church for quite a while, and nobody ever, not a single person ever, came to ask me, do you need anything? You see, the secret of being grateful is not only for what you receive, but as being an instrument, show your gratitude as you reach out with another word that comes from grace, to be generous. Many people see, right now we see people around all the time, I need some cash. You can spare some cash. There are people taking advantage. Yes, there are. There are people you can see that they should go and get a job instead of get a dollar. But you have to use discretion with your resources. You cannot just say, okay, let me go to a bank and withdraw $100,000 and just go to the street and feed everybody. But you need to understand that you have to be grateful that you are the one who has to extend the hand to give instead of reaching out to ask. That in itself should make you motivated to be generous, because blessed are the one who gives than the one who has to ask. It is hard to ask. Believe me, I have been there and I did not ask. Sometimes people say, my wife said, sometimes she said to me, why did you just ask? There is sometimes, some people have a call it pride, some people call it dignity. I try to believe that it was more of a fact that I didn't want to be a burden to anybody, so I did not ask. Today's message, the grace attitude. Now you know that the grace attitude is gratitude. But you notice that is an acronym. And I'll tell you what this acronym is all about, okay? So it is time for us to change what? Our attitude. Have you met anybody with an attitude before? Every time, almost every day, we find people. Sometimes they are under the same roof. Yeah, sometimes they are, even have the same last name as we have because they are our kids. Sometimes we go to work and we find people, they think they are better than anybody else. And they are entitled to be treated as a king or a queen. And you look at their head, there's no crown there, but they think they have one. And they walk around like they are gods. And that everybody owes them something. and our society are raising people like that all the time. People use the title protesting, but all that they want to do is to steal the property of somebody else, to do damage to somebody else. Why? Because there's no accountability. They are ungrateful for what they have. They are ungrateful they were born in this country, full of blessings, and they are surrounded by blessings, but they choose to become a curse to themselves and a curse to everybody else around them. Why? Because instead of being grateful, they feel like they are entitled to an attitude. Ephesians 2 verse 8, New King James Version, New King James Version, Ephesians 2 verse 8, it says, "For by," here is the word again, that's gratitude. "For by gratitude you have been saved." It is by gratitude, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And that is not ourselves. Again, the word that relates to grace, also gift. So there's two words here, grace and gift. It all related to the same gift of gratitude. Grace. What is grace? The exercise, and the list is very long, but I'm just put a brief definition here. It's the exercise of love. And who is love? God is love. So everything starts with God. Kindness. Compassion. The word compassion is going around for a lot. Have you heard about the word compassion? They are putting the word compassion to accept an agenda that it has nothing to do with compassion. They are misleading. They are trying to boycott the Christian thought, to manipulate us to believe that to compromise is the same as compassion. It started with C, yeah, but it's not the same thing. To compromise, to give in to somebody's agenda, that is compassion. If you look in the Bible, every single time that Christ used compassion is with the intent to change a person. Never with the intent to keep the person the same way and give the person a license to go on living a dirty, immoral life. Am I very clear, right? I don't think I need to be clearer than this. And believe me, there are a lot of people don't feel very comfortable to talk about this because there is a force that is intimidating the pulpit, intimidating churches, intimidating entire denominations. Even the Bishop of Rome is speaking on the same terms. And they think that is compassion. If somebody comes here sick and tells us, "I have been told by a doctor that I have to buy a medication. And the medication costs this much." And you say, "Okay, let's talk to the church here. Let's see if we can raise that money. Let's talk to the pastor. Let's talk to the treasurer. And okay, we raise the money because we truly believe that this individual is sincere. He brings the doctor paper and everything else. So we give that money to that individual." And this has happened, folks. It has happened many times. Finally, we learned the lesson. And we give the money to the individual. And then church is over, and we are driving down, and we find the same individual there. And we realize, what happened? And somebody tells us, "Oh, this individual just bought a big portion of drugs, and he shot himself in the vein. He did all this because he come up with some good money from somewhere." I'm not implying that everybody who asks for help are insincere and are lying. But believe me, there are so many lying that is getting away with it. So what I'm saying is it compassion if that individual comes back to our church without knowing that we know what happened, and that person asks again for another donation because he says, oh, the doctor just said that I had to get a second dose of the same medication or I won't be cured. Is it compassion to give that individual the tools for that person to remain a slave of what is killing him or her? That is hate disguised as compassion, because being under the excuse of being generous, you're being selfish. You want to feel good, but you don't know the consequence of what is going to happen to the money you're giving. Sometimes we give because we want to feel good. We don't want other people to feel good. We don't care about how they feel good. We want us to feel good. Don't give because you have a selfish reason. Give it because you have a godly reason to give. True compassion. Mercy. Another word for thank you in French, merci, is the same word. They all come from the same mercy, you know, gratitude. They all come from the same root. And that is God, of course. Disposition to benefit or to serve another. Excuse me. And so that's what is grace all about. Grace. There you go. Jumping in. And now if you take each one, let's make an acronym here. Again, grace is only grace if it is with attitude of God in us. Okay? Now let's... Grace. First, the G is for godly. Then, redeeming. This is, I try to make in a sentence in itself, okay, with every letter. Godly, redeeming, assurance concerning eternity. That's what grace is all about in the mind of God. Godly, redeeming, assurance concerning your and my eternity. When God thinks about grace, he thinks how he can give you eternity. And he knows that the only way he can give you that eternity is by redeeming you and give you the assurance that you have that gift. So that's one of them. I already know that some of you already took the picture. Now, let's go to another one, another acronym. This is attributes. God redeems and changes everything. I hope when you see grace, you have the confidence that God redeems and changes everything in your life. All that you have to do is be willing to change yourself. Now, by the way, have you ever heard about the term cheap grace? Have you heard before? Some of you probably not. I have heard a lot. And I have used a lot too. I have heard people that came to me, and especially Pentecostals, they like this. They said, we are under grace. We are no longer under the law. We have no obligation. The Lord set us free. Free to be ourselves. Free to, you know, we don't have to be so concerned about the law anymore. And then what? They said we are saved by grace. Does grace save anybody who wants to be a disgrace for God? Can grace save anybody who wants to continue being disobedient to God? Some people believe in universalism. Is a terminology that some of you are familiar with, and some of you may not. Universalism is a heresy that is being taught out there that says God is so good, that nobody is going to be lost. You can go kill, you know, in the name of Allah, kill 100, 200 people, and God is still in his grace. He has so much compassion. He says, oh, that poor guy, he probably was affected by the oppression from the Israelis. They have to live like rats all in a, such a small in Israel has this land. They notice that they never look south to the Egypt. It has a lot of land and unoccupied land. They always look to the north. Where? Because there was the technology, the money, the jobs, everything else. They don't look south. And I'm not here to trash the Arabics, okay? They have their issues, okay? They have their pain. I'm talking about that sometimes people manipulate the mind of people to look only one direction, think that that's the only solution. If I could have what somebody belongs to somebody else. We here may act exactly like those people in Gaza also. We may think that the only way we can be happy if we can get what belongs to somebody else. And I'm not saying those in the north doesn't look at the south and have their mistakes that they have committed too, because humans, we know, we are very excellent in making mistakes. We can get all a PhD on it because we know how to be. So it's very important for us to realize that in order for us to have a true grace, we have always to look to God and try to be like Him. And when we try to be like God, we look to our fellow men and we'll have a deep respect for them and gratitude for their presence as well. Here comes grace again. As five attributes, here are five attributes that we get from grace. Generosity, respect, accountability, commitment, and empathy. If you have those five qualities in your life, then you can say, I am a graceful individual. I do have grace in my life. I really understand what grace is all about. Empathy, meaning you are aware of somebody else suffering. You'll be able to be an instrument. I always tell people, when you are very unhappy because you didn't have a breakfast, when you're very unhappy because you lost a $10, or you lost a, by the way, it hurts if to lose anything. It's not the money itself, it's just the fact that we lose something, right? I remember once I dropped my wallet in a parking lot, and a car was was closed. They saw dropping the wallet. They wait inside the car until I drove away. And they took my wallet and they went to Target and had the best Christmas of their lives. But judgment will come and will resolve the issue. And I got it home. I was doing the bulletin. I have been doing the bulletin for so many years. Doing the bulletin. And I need to reach out for my wallet to, because I would go, at that time we had to go to the printing on the Staples. And I had a Staples card. So, where's my wallet? Immediately, I called one credit card because I knew that if, oh yes, you have been, you charged $1,000 in Target. And by the way, you are right now you're in Best. I said, no, I'm not. I'm here at home. Somebody else is with my wallet. And the Discover card at that time says, we know exactly where they are this time charging, but we cannot give you the address. We cannot give to the police because we are afraid to be sued. Don't worry, Mr. Elson, we'll pay for all everything. And I said, but they have my search secured, my driver license, all my credit cards, my address, my driver license, everything. They have everything in my wallet. And they told that they are some people that look like me. Therefore, it was easy for them to buy as being part of the family. Yes, how do you feel sometimes empathy? You have to feel empathy for those that are willing to change their lives. You cannot feel empathy for somebody who does not want to change and made a commitment to be what they chose to be. Commitment, accountability, respect, and being generous. What separates privilege from entitlement? Anybody knows? What separates privilege from entitlement? Gratitude. This is Cassandra is her name, but she doesn't go by Cassandra online. She is called Brené Brown. She's a researcher and a storyteller. John 3:16, it tells us, so God so loved the world. I like to read this verse in a different way. Most of you read this way, but I like to read it a different way. I have my personal version. Because God so loved me that he gave his most precious child, his son, his only begotten son. Because if I choose to believe in him, I will never have to perish, but I will have everlasting life. So when I look at the G in grace, I see God giving. That's what I see in grace. God gives. He always does, and that he motivates us to give. Bless you. It says, Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. In other words, the gift that you get from serving death, I mean the sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is Romans 6:23, New King James. Again, the G in grace is God gives, is a gift. And remember, I always say to you, looking into gift, and we are coming a season when everybody's thinking about, oh, what I'm going to get for Christmas. When did you change that mood a little bit? It says, what am I going to give to people this Christmas? I want to make this season a season of giving instead of taking. Acts 2:38, New King James as well. Then Peter said to them, repent. So the R in grace, there is no grace unless there is repentance. There is no grace. God cannot give his grace if you want to misuse it. It's with the intent for you to change, to repent. And let everyone of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then for the remission of sins. Why he is giving us the gift of grace? So that we repent. The word repent means to change your way of thinking. Change, make a U-turn. Go in a different direction if you're messing up your life. For the remission of sins. And you shall receive, again the word, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, G is a gift. R is for repentance. It is for redemption. Also, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9, New King James. If we confess, if we do what? Or if we deny our sins, right? Do you know what the problem with many sinners? Especially those that they act like they are holy than thou. Is that when you do not confess and you try to justify your sin as if the sin does not exist, you start lying to yourself. And many people do. A denial. Instead of confess, they say, no, it was not my fault. I didn't mean to do this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it when you did. Or you are careless. So you say with a sorry, you try to erase your mistake. No. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. There is the word forgive. Us. Our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repent and receive, and redemption takes place. That's what that R in grace is all about. You repent, then you receive, then you're redeemed, and then grace becomes a true grace and not a disgrace. But confession comes first. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. 1 Peter 4, verse 5. The A in grace is accountability. Everyone, in order for you to repent, you need to feel accountability. Because if you don't feel accountable to what you do, you're never going to feel the need to confess or the need to repent or to change. And many people, they do. The reason why they misuse grace is because they don't sense accountability. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, New King James as well. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Don't take for granted your beliefs. Test yourselves. Constantly ask yourselves, am I doing the right thing? What do I need to improve? What do I need to change? If you're willing to change, the Holy Spirit is willing to work with you. But if you're stubborn, you know, if you're stubborn and you resist change, then there's nothing the Holy Spirit can do for you. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? One thing that disturbs me right now, and there are millions, and I can say even to billions of people, they call themselves Christians. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to use an expression here. I shouldn't say I'm sorry because I'm going to use it anyway, so I'm not really sorry. There are a lot of people butchering the name of Christ. They are murdering Christ. They are crucifying Christ just by putting the name of Christ on themselves and act like somebody who have never met. And that's what Matthew 7, Jesus Christ says, I have no idea who these people are. They go to church, they claim to perform miracles, they hallelujahs here, hallelujahs there, and they jump and they say those things, and they have a very powerful gymnasium stadium full of people, and yet it's all useless unless indeed you are disqualified. And how many people are disqualified because they claim to be Christians, but they do not act like Christ? Again, 1 John 5:13, New King James. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That is assurance. By the way, we are not saved. We do not have grace just because we have beside our name, Seventh-day Adventist membership. Membership is very important. But there are other ships that we need to get involved too. Relationship, stewardship, partnership, what else? Discipleship. There is a whole navy waiting for you to join in. Yeah, there are a lot of sheep that you cannot skip. You need to be part of it. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Assurance. It is important. John 17:20-21. See. By the way, see in grace does not stand for compromise. I want to make sure that there are a lot of people selling grace out there with the C standing for compromise. C does not stand for compromise. I do not pray for this alone. This is Jesus Christ praying about whom? Who do you think Jesus is praying for in John 17? Us. Us. I do not pray for this alone, he said, those disciples here alone, but I'm praying for those that will be in Vista. November 25th, 2023, he says here, but also for those who will believe in me through their word and will listen. John is speaking. See, I'm reading from John. So did Paul. He spoke, as we read from Paul, as they, Jesus Christ, talked about them, saying, that they all may be one. That means communion. You see the last part of the communion? Uni, means one, uni, you and I, means one. Communion means with one, becoming one. And then also one body, the body of Christ, the church. And then, what is the middle of the church there?
You are,
yes. You're supposed to be. There is no church without you there in the middle.
Yes.
You know that, right? And they, just like we are with one of the Father is one with Christ. I mean, the Father is one with Christ. Jesus Christ wants us to be part as one. One with us. That the world may believe that you send me. Consecration. The word consecration means to be holy as God is holy. Here Paul comes and Paul is talking. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Communion. Not compromise. Let me repeat. Not compromise, but communion. Revelation 3, verse 20, New King James. Behold, Jesus Christ himself saying, I stand at the door and knock. Which door? Which door he is standing at? I was hoping to hear one of you say, my door. You probably have a ring. It says, nobody is at home. When Jesus knocks at your door, what are you saying? Nobody's home? I mentioned to you the story here of Sonia. I'm going to repeat the story. I used to go to Sonia's house to give her Bible studies. Remember the story? She had two kids. And we brought even sometimes some people with material to give to her kids. All we never charged them anything. All our time, our material, everything for free. Maybe we should have a charge. Then the people will give more. There'll be the church will be packed if we start charging for it. But no, we knock at the door, and we came one time, we studied, but then we came the following week, we knock at the door. At that time, we had a very good, much better hearing than we have as we grow older. Our hearing changed a little bit, but at that time, my hearing was so sharp that it was a blessing and a curse at the same time, because I could hear her inside. Telling her kids to be quiet, because somebody represent Christ is hitting at the door, and I want my novellas. He's going to take a whole hour of our time. I needed to watch my novellas. Years went by. I think 10 or some years went by. You know, I went to her house 2 or 3 weeks in same thing. So I said, okay. I knocked my shoes and move on. And I receive a phone call from her. I'm not sorry now. Pastor. I said, Sonia, I could hear her. I understood her voice. Sister Sonia, I haven't heard of you for a long time. What happened? My son just beat me. Pastor, come and help us, because I said, Sonny, I'm sorry. I can't do anything for your son anymore because now he's a man. When he was a child, it was much easier to guide him the right path. But you got him where he is. And I said, I'm saying to you so that you can learn from this awful experience. But he is what you chose him to be, because I was at your door. I knocked at your door to teach your children to be respectful, to honor you, as to teach you also to honor your Heavenly Father. But you chose the novella, Sonia. Now there's nothing I can do for you. Only the police. Call the police. That's all the only one that are going to be preaching to your son now is the police officer. That's the only thing you can do. Nothing else I can do, Sonia. The good part of the story is that later on, she received the Bible studies. She continued with the Bible studies. And I was a pastor in more than 3 hours away from where she lived. And she did give us a call. The pastor calls us so that she wants to be baptized. She wants me to do the baptism. So we went there and we baptized her. So, but she could have avoided a lot of pain. Some of you here have small children. When your children come to church, and if they have a cell phone in their hands, you're responsible to talk to your children about it. You may sit there and pretend that nothing's happening. Let the cell phone babysit your child. A bill, and I'm not talking about the phone bill, that too, will come later. And the price is going to be unbearable. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then that person will have communion with me. That also, he says, I will come into him or her and dine with him and he with me. Yes, there will be connection. There will be communion and connection. Luke 18:18. Now a certain ruler, a young ruler, came to Jesus and says, Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? I want eternal life. That's the last E. That's the closing of grace. I want that closing E. What do I do? Jesus Christ told him, and by the way, what Jesus Christ told him, every single church that I know of that talks about the cheap grace would have kicked Jesus out of the church by saying what he said. I'm 100% sure, brothers and sisters, Jesus will be kicked out of those churches with his legalistic answer. He says, do you know the commandments? He sounds like a Seventh-day Adventist. Yes, you can have a smile because there's nothing wrong about us teaching obedience. Only if we do not eliminate grace on the process, because you have to teach your obedience. But realize that obedience is only possible under grace. Do you all understand that that's the gospel? That's what Jesus Christ teaches. You cannot go to one extreme and abandon the other one. You have to bring a relationship between grace and obedience. There is no such thing as obedience without grace or grace without obedience. Otherwise, it's just same cheap grace. John 6:40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. The condition for us to close grace with eternity is to believe in him. Amen. The one who provides grace, the gift of salvation, the one who became a gift himself to his own creation. And I will raise him or her up in the last day. Brothers and sisters, the church that teaches cheap grace also is teaching that Jesus Christ does not have to come to raise anybody up, because Maria died and she's also already in the bosom of God. Oh, Anthony, oh, he died. He's also in a purgatory, but just toasting a little bit, but then he is going to go to a paradise. Everybody's got it somewhere. We feel like laughing, but it's sad how the devil have manipulated so many, and sometimes even some many around us too. Revelation 20 verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is the person who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Let me translate this for you, because some of you see the sentence there, second death, and does not understand what that means. Second death means hell, means infierno, okay? Means a hard place. It says like this, blessed is the person who is going to skip hell, who has no appointment to be barbecued, who is going to skip the hot place. Why? Because hell has no power on those that are shadowed, covered by grace. Those that have been embraced by grace, those that have received the greatest gift, which is God redeeming grace, attitude, gratitude. It says, but they shall be priests, preachers of God, priests and preachers of God and Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. I need a vacation. 1,000 years vacation. Here is grace all about. It says, more than we deserve, greater than we imagine. That's what grace is all about. Brothers and sisters, I'm almost done. It says, Psalm 100, verse 4, be gracious to me. Enter his gates with what?
With thanks.
With that kind of attitude. Grace attitude. What is the gates here? The church. Come to church with a spirit of grace attitude, gratitude, thanksgiving. Come to church motivated to give. Don't come to church with intent to take, because you're going to go home miserable. And his courts with praise. By the way, thanksgiving, praise is the same. Is mentioned 4 times in this verse, the same words. It says, enter his gates with a gratefulness, and his court with gratefulness. And then it says, and gratefulness again to him, and grace again to his name. In other words, the whole part of your worship should be because you have the right type of attitude, which is grace attitude. You are grateful. Come to church grateful and not for any other reason. Have you seen something like this before? Can you see well from there? There's 2 calendars here. One who is a mix of the Hebrew and the secular one. But they had, right there, they have Shabbat, okay? And Abba is there. And they have this is a calendar the way it's supposed to be. But in the little one is a typical Hebrew calendar. Over there, it doesn't have Sunday. Sunday doesn't belong to any calendar. I thought I was going to say amen to that. I know. Sunday doesn't belong to any calendar. It is just like a first day. And somebody here is married to a Jewish person. I don't know if this person knows about this. But in Hebrew, is the first day after the Sabbath. Second day after the Sabbath. Third day after the Sabbath. And then the Sabbath. It's like, do you know why they say the first day after the Sabbath? Or some of you used to say, first day until the Sabbath. Second day, can you imagine? A person with that kind of attitude, all the center of your life is all about the Sabbath. It's about the day when you will have opportunity to be grateful all day long. You're going to feast in gratitude. That's what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is the greatest celebration of Thanksgiving. Now, how many of you here, I know some of you may be guilty, but please do not raise your hand. Okay, you may be guilty of calling Thanksgiving a holy day. Yeah, we are We are puppets of our society. We just repeat. We call it a holy day. We call a lot of days that has nothing to do about holy, the holy anyway. Halloween, they call, is a satanic celebration and people call it holy. The Day of the Dead, November the 1st, that's why they call the 31st of October hollow, because the Bishop of Rome called November the 1st the day for the dead. So everybody should call it holy day. How many holy days are there in a year? You already know the answer. How many? 52, in some years 53. Those are the only Thanksgiving days that God has sanctioned and has created for you to celebrate gratitude. It's the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the culmination of what grace is all about. And it's very sad that we as a Seventh-day Adventist don't realize, don't come to the understanding that the whole purpose of the Sabbath is to show us how graceful, how grateful we should be to God, and how graceful, how generous God is to us. He creates Sabbath to remind us what grace is all about. That is a covenant of grace, is the Sabbath. No one can rest in God unless there is peace on their heart. And there is only peace when God redeems us with His grace. Now you know. Now we can embrace Him and receive His embracement too. Now you understand what grace is all about. Go and be gracious with your life. Amazing grace. Let's sing Amazing Grace.